no matter what you believe about the Word of God, if you doubt the deity of Jesus, that He was and is God, all the rest of your theology is absolutely tainted.
Since the beginning of time, Satan has labored relentlessly to counterfeit the work of God. He has offered the world a perversion of everything God has done for mankind. And today, on the Monday edition of In Touch, Charles Stanley introduces us to the devil's crowning piece of fraudulent fruit, the man referred to as the Antichrist. This man is designated to be Satan's attempt to counterfeit our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and will be the complete antithesis of all that Christ is. For example, Jesus is without sin. The Antichrist will be the man of sin. And whereas Jesus came to save, the Antichrist will come to destroy. Learn more about this future world leader as Dr. Stanley continues his series on the book of Revelation, this time revealing the truth about the Antichrist.
The word Antichrist simply means against Christ. And the Antichrist denies that Jesus Christ is who the Bible says He is. And John's use of this term speaks of primarily of a system of belief. And if you'll notice 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18, remembering now that John is writing to those who are being infiltrated with false doctrine, and he's writing to enable them to help them understand how to be sure that they have been saved. And he warns them against the Antichrist. In the verse 18, he says, "Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists, plural, have arisen. From this we know that it is the last hour." He says the time is late. 22nd verse. "Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son." And then, of course, in the 4th chapter and the 3rd verse, he says, "And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God, and this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world." When he says confess Jesus, that means confessing Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God, the virgin-born Son of God. That is, that He is deity, He is God. It isn't just the matter of saying, "Oh yes, there is a Jesus," but believing what the Scripture says about Him. All of those fall into the category of being Antichrist. Now go back, if you will, to the 2nd chapter for a moment, and the 18th verse. Listen to what he said. He said, "You've heard that the Antichrist is coming, and many Antichrists, plural, have arisen." So in John's day, they had the same problem we have today. People who come along and say, "Well, yes, I believe in Jesus." What do you believe about Jesus? "Well, I believe He was a good man. Was He God's Son?" Well, not no. All they'll say, "Yes, I believe He was God's Son." "Was He deity?" Now listen to me. When anybody doubts the deity of Christ, just chalk them off. Because I'm telling you, they start with error. No matter what you believe about the Word of God, if you doubt the deity of Jesus, that He was and is God, all the rest of your theology is absolutely tainted and distorted, because if He's not deity, then the cross is meaningless, the whole redemptive plan is a farce, and we cannot be saved. So what is evident here is that John is saying this is a system of belief. Now, you say, "Well, if that's true, does that mean that He is not a particular person?" Yes, He is, because even though it is a system, that doesn't mean He cannot be a person, because what He's saying in the book of the Revelation is this whole system of Antichrist will be consummated in one person whom we call the Antichrist. That is, he will be the summation of all that is anti-God, anti-Christ, and of course, as we're talking about here in this 12th chapter and later on, anti-Israel. Now, let me just give you a list of names that are given in the Scripture for the Antichrist. He's called the Wicked One. He's called the Son of Perdition. He's called in Revelation 13 the Beast. In Daniel 9, the Prince that shall come, and also the King in Daniel 9. Daniel 9 is a very important section of Scripture concerning the Antichrist and things that are going to happen. So there are many names that are given to the Antichrist. But he is the summation of all that Satan would be if he were human. And he will be used by Satan to, of course, bring havoc on the world. Turn to Revelation chapter 19. There's no other explanation for this except that there is a person who is the Antichrist. In the 19th chapter of Revelation, verse 19, I believe that's the one I want to look at. "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war against him who sat upon the horse and against his army. And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet who performed the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive in the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. And the rest were killed with a sword, which came from the mouth of him who sat upon the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh." Now, we're talking about the Battle of Armageddon. We're talking about when Jesus Christ comes. Now, he is fighting someone. And this someone is the epitome of all that Satan is. He is the beast of chapter 13. He is the beast in this chapter. He is a person that is the Antichrist. Though John describes it as a spirit, as an attitude, and as also a system. Now, what is he going to be like? Well, let's go back to Daniel chapter 11. He is going to be a world leader. Look, if you will, in verse 36. "Then the king will do as he pleases." Now, here he is labeled as a king. "And he will exalt and magnify himself above every god and will speak monstrous things about the God of gods, Jehovah. And he will prosper until the indignation is finished, for that which is decreed will be done. And he will show no regard for the gods of his fathers, nor for the desire of women, nor will he show regard for any other god. For he will magnify himself above all of them." What is it that caused Satan to be thrown out of heaven, being an angel at the time? What caused him to be thrown out? He wanted to exalt himself above God. The Antichrist is the epitome of Satan in the human flesh. He'll be a world leader. He will exalt himself. He is self-willed. And if you'll notice in verse 38, "But instead," he says, "he will honor a god of fortresses," which means the only thing he will honor is might and power and force. "A god whom his fathers did not know, he will honor him with gold, silver, costly stones, and treasures. And he will take action against the strongest of fortresses with the help of a foreign god. He will give great honor to those who acknowledge him, and he will cause them to rule over the many and will parcel out land for a price." He will be a world dictator. He will be in charge in a vast fashion all across this world, and he will be the epitome, again I say, of Satan himself. If Antichrist is not only a person, but a system of belief, but also an attitude, what happens when you and I deliberately, willfully oppose God? What do? We act like the Antichrist. Because you see, if you oppose God, you are Antichrist in that particular situation. Now, I'm not saying that anybody who disobeys God, that I'm going to call him an Antichrist. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying that rebelling against God is a dangerous thing to begin with, and it is the attitude of Antichrist. And so when people just absolutely rebel against God, you work around people who think your religion or your faith is obnoxious, and they want to criticize you, and they don't want the Bible in school and prayer in the school. And the truth is, you work among people who are anti-Christian. You work among a system that's anti-Christian. Someone said to me this past week, the business they work for has told them that they cannot have the Bible on their desk, and they can't do this, and they can't do that, and they can't talk about God. You know what they're doing? That whole business is setting itself up under the spirit of Antichrist. So while it is consummated in a person, it is a system of belief that is permeating and saturating our whole society. And you think about how anti-God, anti-Christ our society is today. It is creeping, it is moving faster and faster and faster. Why? Because the world system is getting ready for one world order, and that system is going to be ruled over by a person who claims to be the Antichrist. Now, he's not going to call himself that, of course, but the truth is he will represent everything that is in opposition to God and to the things that you and I believe. And it's not something that's going to happen. In fact, John said it's already come. And so the spirit and attitude of Antichrist has been here from the very beginning, but there will come a day when it is consummated in one person. There will be one world order. There will be one government that governs and influences all the kingdoms of the world. Because it will be the summation and the climax of all of history at the Battle of Armageddon, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and destroys the Antichrist and all of his forces. If you'll go back to Revelation 13 now for a moment, several things I want to mention here. I want you to notice how the Antichrist comes on the scene and how he gets to this position. Verse 5, "And there was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for 42 months, the last 3.5 years. He opened his mouth in blasphemies against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in it. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and overcome them. And authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written in the book of life, the foundation of the world," and so forth. How does he come upon the scene? How does he gain this awesome world power? It was given to him. Who gave it to him? Now, you see, here lately I've been mentioning something almost in every sermon. I don't know whether you're getting it or not, but I want you to get it. Because if you'll get this, it'll affect your whole life. There is only one sovereign in this universe, and that's Almighty God. Nobody, not even Satan, Antichrist, no one can do anything unless God allows it. All power given to all men is given to them by God. And so therefore, the Antichrist can only do what? What God allows him to do. Therefore, now watch this. So all the wickedness that is going on in the world, no matter what it is, and we look at all the bloodshed and the war and the things that are going on and people just destroying themselves. You see, what's happening in the world, everywhere you turn, if you take a globe and you put a big red dot on every place there's war and bloodshed and violence, friend, it looks like it's got the measles. That's what the globe looks like, because it's everywhere. Now what's happening? The world is coming to such chaos that one of these days, when somebody comes on the scene and offers some solutions, and they look good, and nations that are in economic chaos and just absolute catastrophes going on, and someone says, well, if we do thus and so, we can have one economy, we can have universal trade laws, we'll all trade together, because the economy is what brings prosperity to the whole world, and so we will all live under one economy. We'll all have one constitution. We'll all have one law. Therefore, we'll have peace in the world and prosperity. We'll all have all the things that we need and all the things that we want. And what's going to happen? Because the truth is that every single world leader, a national leader yet, and every politician who's ever been elected did what? He promises people what? What they want. That's what they offer. And the truth is they're deceivers. And the Antichrist will be the greatest deceiver of all. Put all the world under one government. And put all the world under one economy. And you see, here's the terrible thing. You think the American people, we're so vulnerable. This nation is so vulnerable. People say, we want change. We want change, change, change. They don't stop to say, okay, wait a minute. What kind of change do we want? And who is this that's voting for change? And what do they believe in? And what's their philosophy? And what have they been doing? Does that mean if we vote for him, we're going to get what they are? Mm-mm. And so what happens? We're vulnerable. So when somebody comes along and says peace, there's so many folks out there who just want peace, 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 peace. They don't have any idea what peace means. But that's what they want. No more war, plenty of plenty, prosperity, peace, and everybody getting along. Well, the problem is there are two kingdoms in this world, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil. We will never all get along. That's why once in a while somebody says to me, well, do you think that one of these days all the denominations will be together? Absolutely not. Do you think all those who believe in God are going to get together? No. Because you see, if you know anything about the Bible, you know that human nature is what it is, and the devil being what he is, he's not about to allow all the believers to get together under one roof and be happily married together and just loving God and loving each other and all believing the same thing and evangelizing the world. It's just not going to work that way, because that's just not the way things are. Human nature is what it is. We have a fallen nature. And therefore, because we came into this world with a fallen nature, we're talking about people who don't believe in God, people who do, people in all denominations. If you put everybody in all the denominations together and all of them were saints, all of them believe the Bible from cover to cover, you think we'd have unity? No way. Because you see, Satan is a deceiver. He is a cunning deceiver. And the one thing he always wants to do is to divide. Divide the church, divide the home, divide the nation, divide the world. And today he has this world so divided, homes so divided, churches so divided, And it looks like he's winning. If you look around, you think, you know, Satan looks like he's winning. The Antichrist will be a great deceiver. One world government. Look, if you will, in the 17th chapter of the Revelation for a moment. Verse 12. And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast. That is, they receive authority as kings with the Antichrist for 1 hour or a period of time. These have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast. You know what they say? They say to the Antichrist, we submit to your rule, to your authority. We're going to let you give us guidance. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them because he's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And those who are with him are called the chosen. All through here, as we come to different passages about the Antichrist, it's the same thing. World leader, dominating the world. And when we come to the 17th chapter, the false church, and we come to the commercial Babylon and the 18th chapter about the world economy, what's happening is all the way till we get to the 19th chapter when he's destroyed, the Antichrist is in ascendancy. He is in control in those last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Dominating the world power in absolute control. Now you say, well, how in the world can anybody get in control of the whole world? It's real simple. Money. You see, though there's going to be a great war, the Antichrist is not going to conquer the world by war. First of all, he doesn't have time to do that. 3.5 years is when he is really going to be on the move. So even though he's got 7 years and he's made a covenant with the nation of Israel to bring them peace, and that's all deceptive. And also what he's going to do, he's going to use the false church, because the true church isn't going to be here. It's going to be taken out at the rapture. So what is he going to do? He's going to do exactly what governments do. Governments use the church to get their work done. They use the economy. And so instead of trying to do it by war and bloodshed, it's real simple. When people become economic slaves, you don't have to worry about war. The Antichrist will play out his role. But his role is given to him by God. And in those 7 years of tribulation, God will accomplish his purpose of bringing his wrath upon this earth, his wrath upon the nation of Israel, and bringing it all to a climax in the Battle of Armageddon, when he absolutely, totally destroys everything and makes a new heaven and a new earth, and where we begin the millennial reign of Christ and the new heaven and the new earth, and then life will be totally different forever and ever and ever. The Antichrist. Now, you say, well, that could be 100 years from now, it could be 10 years from now. That's right. What I want to ask you is this. Are you aware of the attitude and the system of Antichrist that goes on around you where you work? When you're in school and your professors speak out all of this stuff that's anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-Christ, what is that? It's the system of the Antichrist. So what are you not to do? Here's what we're to do. We're to stand firm. We're to stand strong. We're to be courageous and bold and speak the truth. And this is why I've said to you over and over and over again, we must know the truth before we can speak it. It is not enough just to worship the Lord and praise Him. There must be a solid, immovable, unchangeable foundation that you know to be absolutely the Word of God from which you will not depart. Because, friend, the pressure is going to be on, and it's going to get worse. And we think about our children and our grandchildren, what kind of system they're going to grow up in. Listen, it's already become so anti-Christ already. Friend, in 20 years, we won't even know this nation of ours. Because the attitude of Antichrist is becoming more and more predominant. So what do governments do? They tolerate the church until they can say, that's it. The force in this nation that's keeping real democracy alive, the force in this nation that's keeping our lifestyle alive, is not the government. It is the body of Christ. We stand for truth and respect and love each for the other. Because you see, men are by nature power hungry. They want to rule. They want to control. And they are usually arrogant. And are able to persuade people to their way of life and their ideas by their lips when their hearts are full of deception. The message tonight is simply this. you and I are to be very sensitive to what's going on around us, that even hints of anti-Christ, anti-Christian. And we're to be bold in our statement of what we believe, and to be able to identify it and to be able to say to somebody, but that's anti-Christ. That's anti-Christian. That is opposed to the Word of God. No, I don't believe that. And I cannot stand for that. Now, if you're not a Christian, now watch this carefully, listen. If you're not a Christian, you probably never thought about being against God. But if you're not a Christian, that is, if you have rejected Christ, you say, well, I'm not rejecting him. Yes, you have. If you're not a Christian, you've rejected him. If you've heard the truth and you have, you've rejected him. Then here's what happens. You have sided up with the system of Antichrist. Now, you may not have thought about it, but that's what you've done. You've sided up with the system of Antichrist. Those of us who are believers are in opposition to the system of Antichrist. Now, what's going to happen? There will be a confrontation. And there already is. In many nations, Christians are being killed. You don't see it in the newspaper. Isn't it amazing how they cover all that up? Something can happen to somebody, and we're out yonder in the middle of nowhere, and you got all kind of news, and Christians slaughtered by the thousands and thousands. Everybody's real quiet. One world order, one world system, one world economy, one world dictator, the Antichrist. That means every single believer is very important to the kingdom of God. And your witness is extremely important.
Charles Stanley reminded us that one day there will be a colossal battle, the culmination of the war between the forces of God and the forces of Satan. But as believers, we can be comforted in the knowledge that the outcome of the battle has already been decided, and Jesus Christ wins. It's our responsibility to share the truth of the gospel now and encourage others to join us on the winning side. The Bible is the expression of the thoughts of God. It is the mind of God recorded on paper. Hebrews 4, verse 12 tells us that it is living and active, and therefore able to transform minds as we learn its truths. In order to grow spiritually, we must absorb the Bible into our thinking so that we may begin to think the way God thinks. An important way to make that transformation is to daily spend time reading God's Word. And a helpful tool to enhance your understanding of what you read can be found in the In Touch magazine. This free monthly publication contains a daily devotional feature that will help you draw practical application from Scripture. Begin your subscription to this valuable tool when you ask for the In Touch magazine when you write. Our address is In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. Once again, that's In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. You can also contact us on the Internet at intouch.org. Drop by our homepage to hear an encore presentation of today's message on Real Audio. Our address again is intouch.org. God's wrath will one day fall on mankind, but God's creation will suffer also. Learn what it will be like on earth on that terrible day. Charles Stanley returns to his study of Revelation tomorrow. The teaching of Charles Stanley is touching the world with a passion for God and compassion for people. A presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, USA.